Hello, everyone. Thanks for calling in to the Jeff Hardy Bound for Glory conference call. I'd like to thank all of our domestic and international callers joining us today. Well, let's go through a little housekeeping things to get out of the way before we bring Jeff Hardy on. First of all, let's go over the Impact preview for this Thursday. It's just 3 days away from Bound for Glory. What will happen when TNA World Champion Austin Aries comes face-to-face with Jeff Hardy for the final time before their epic world title match? Last week, we saw Hulk Hogan and Sting choose Bully Ray as a partner. How will Aces and Eights respond? James Storm and Bobby Roode's rivalry has continued to intensify. Now MMA superstar King Mo has entered the equation. King Mo will be on the Impact Zone on Thursday. Will Roode attempt to confront him? In Knockouts action, TNA Knockouts champion Miss Tessmacher takes on Gail Kim. And remember that Bound for Glory is live on pay-per-view this Sunday, October 14th from Phoenix, Arizona at the Grand Canyon University Arena. Of course, we have Mr. Jeff Hardy, the world heavyweight champion, Austin Aries facing Jeff Hardy. World tag team titles, we have AJ Styles versus Kurt Angle versus Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez versus Christopher Daniels and Kazarian. We have Bobby Roode versus James Storm with special enforcer King Mo. The Knockouts Championship match, Tara versus Miss Tessmacher. The TV Championship match, Magnus versus Samoa Joe. We have Sting and Bully Ray against the Aces and Eights. And Jerry Ryan versus Al Snow. On Saturday, we have our fan interaction event in Phoenix, and that night, Sting will be the first ever inductee into the TNA Hall of Fame. Also, highlights from the TNA Hall of Fame and variety of other items will be on the Countdown to Bound for Glory show on Spike TV, 1 hour before at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Now we have Mr. Hardy on the line, and we're open up for questions.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Mike Johnson.
Hey, Jeff. It's Mike Johnson from PW Insider. How are you?
Good, brother. How are you?
Very good. Obviously, a big match this weekend with yourself against Austin Aries. What are your thoughts on Austin as a performer and his role as TNA champion since he's ascended to that position as someone who's been in that position before?
Austin's great. It was one of those shocking moments. I wasn't at that pay-per-view when he beat Bobby Roode, and then I'd heard the next day, I was like, oh, my God, Austin Aries is a new world champion. Wow, that's something I've been trying to accomplish for the last year. And it was just one of those shocking moments that I think we all will remember and that we didn't expect. And he is he's held his own, man. He's great on the mic. He's great in the ring, and he's such a talented guy.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, man.
Your next question comes from Scott Fishman.
Miami Herald, how are you? So my question is just, the last year or so, you've been staying the straight and narrow, no issues or anything we've heard of anything. How has it been the last couple of the months and, growing as a performer and just being, the veteran and backstage and contributing in sort of a locker room leader type role with so many young superstars backstage?
It's been great, even back before, I kind of set a goal for myself for 2012 to be a great year, and it has so far. Everything's been extremely well, and that's what I just want to plan to continue to do and finish 2012 really strong. But, everything's been great, and being a part of TNA is just better than ever. The evolution is in full effect, and I'm crazy excited about the future.
All right. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Your next question comes from the line of Carl Johnson.
Hi, Jeff. Pleasure speaking to you.
Hey, thank you.
Obviously, you've spanned a lot of years, obviously, with different promotions. Is there anything that you feel you've got, you've been tag team champion, world champion. Do you feel there's actually anything, left to accomplish in your career as it stands now?
There's one major thing to accomplish, and hopefully I'll fulfill that achievement this Sunday, and that's to be world champion you know, one more time. And as far as I'm concerned, it's the most important title in professional wrestling right now. As far as meaning, I mean, it has the most. And that's my biggest thing, is to be champion one more time.
That's brilliant. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Ewan Edwards.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey.
Hey, I'm from the Vintage Journal. Nice to speak to you. My question is, watching No Surrender, I thought that it was an incredibly resilient performance from you to overcome two competitors in one night with an injury. Did that feel like a kind of championship-winning performance to you, and do you think that will give you the edge to come Bound for Glory?
Yeah, for sure. It was, you know, this was my first year being a part of the Bound for Glory series, and I was down pretty far, man, and I was kind of in a moment with myself going, oh, my God, is it even possible to come back and win this thing? And, you know, luckily I did. I've been blessed to be able to be strong and fight through injuries all my career. I've had no surgeries yet. Hopefully I'll stay that way. But, yeah, that night was it was brutally tough for me, especially being in there with a guy like Bully Ray and feeling so injured and unsure of what's going to happen. But, you know, the fans have been great. They've been right there with me the whole way. And I owe this to the Creatures of the Night to give them the payoff they've been waiting for, and that's to become world champion. So, yeah, it was a rough night, but it was well worth it.
Thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Your next question comes from Chris Renfrew with Big Wrestle Shark.
Hi there, Jeff. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us today. Of course, everyone's looking at your upcoming world title match with Austin Aries, who is a smaller opponent than, you know, he's a much smaller guy to wrestle. Now, when you broke into wrestling, you were more of the smaller wrestler, and some of your most memorable matches have came with guys much bigger than yourself, such as Abyss, Undertaker, Umaga. Do you feel you've had to adapt your style as maybe the size of wrestlers like Austin Aries and that have come into effect?
It's probably the biggest thing I'm, you know, looking forward to, because normally it's either equal or I am at a disadvantage as far as size goes. Yeah, this Sunday it's going to be interesting, because normally I am the smaller guy, and I do have a little a strength advantage on Austin, but his speed and agility is probably quicker than mine. So it's going to make for a great main event, I do believe, because I'm going to try to get in that mind state of back in the Omega days, you know, when I was Will of the Wisp, always wrestling Shannon Moore, and you know, it's just fun for me because I could be the stronger guy. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to kind of getting back to my roots come Sunday and being the stronger guy and being successful at it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Your next question comes from the line of Neil Docking from Power Slam Magazine.
Hi, Jeff. How you doing?
Hey, man. All right.
Thanks for taking the time to speak to us this evening.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to ask you, I mean, you made your return to TNA in August 2011, last year. This time last year, did you think you'd be back in this position, you know, of a world championship, a TNA world championship reign within your grasp? And what does it mean to you for TNA to have shown such faith in you?
It means the world. You know, Dixie Carter has been tremendous in, as far as faith and believing in me, and it's crazy. I think last year this time I was sitting in the slammer, you know, wondering what my future held. Basically, I said this earlier. I just set a goal for myself to have a great 2012 and do extremely well. Whether I became champion or not, that really wasn't important to me at that time. I just wanted to come back and have the best matches I possibly could have, and I think I've held up to that. I'm extremely proud of myself, and I hope all my creatures are as well.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think? What do you think has changed for you? What's helped you focus and really get back on top of your game?
Bottom line is fatherhood.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's nothing that changes your life like having children, is there?
Nothing, man. You know, that's one thing as far as there's not much violence in me, but when it comes to my daughter and protecting, and just I never realized love could be so strong. So, and that just makes life in general better.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's good to hear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Dwayne Dugan with Wrestling Voice Radio.
Hi, Jeff. How are you doing?
All right. How are you?
Not too bad, now. The press release for this conference call says that it's, you know, you're on the road to revitalizing your career, you know, obviously referring to everything that's since happened at that Victory Road match. And I'm a believer in second chances, and, you know, not to sound harsh, you've had a few. And, yes, you spoke about, you know, the faith that Dixie Carter had in you, but your fans have stayed behind you 100% and wouldn't dream of anything otherwise. Why do you think the relationship between you and your fans, you know, has been so strong and still is today?
I think it has a lot to do with meeting me outside the ring, whether it's at a hotel or after a show at a meet and greet. I think just my true fans that have had the chance to sit or talk with me for a minute, they really see I'm pretty genuine, and I never change. You know, I've never lost control of my ego when it could have been so easy to. I've really just stayed, I've remained the same, and I think in the long run, that's paid off and helped me as far as my fans continuing to believe in me. And, you know, when it comes down to an arrest and some serious charges, that's like the last chance. So the second chance you get after that, you can't mess it up. And I knew that was the last time I'd messed up, and I wasn't gonna screw that up again.
So would you say that this Sunday is more about, you know, giving something back to those who stayed by you rather than, you know, proving the doubters wrong?
Definitely, yeah, definitely, because, you know, Resurrected was kind of my new theme last year at Bound for Glory, and it was basically about that one more shot I was given, and basically about making believers out of all the non-believers who doubted me, and everything's went so well, so yeah, definitely, it's going to be a huge celebration on my and that part.
Okay, Jeff, thanks for your time.
You're welcome.
Your next question comes from Ewan Esworth with VT Journal.
Hi there again, Jeff.
Hello.
Hi. I was just wondering about what you thought of Austin Aries' comments about, you know, your popularity, your fame, and your future Hall of Fame kind of inductee. Is that something that is kind of in your future? Would you like to be inducted into the Hall of Fame? What would it mean to you if you were inducted into the Hall of Fame?
Well, what did Austin say about the Hall of Fame?
He said that he had a kind of a Hall of Fame career that he wanted.
Oh, got you. Yeah, I mean, I'm flattered by that, you know. Yeah, that'd be a huge accomplishment or something to be remembered for. But, you know, that's far from what I'm even considering right now as far as when and where that might happen. But yeah, I'm just flattered by it. I mean, Austin Aries has nothing to prove to me. He's got a long way to go to be at the level that I'm at. I mean, I can admit that because I've been and done, you know, a lot of things. And but yeah, basically, I mean, I'm flattered he wants to have what I have, and hopefully he'll get there, man. I mean, he's on his way, but no doubt about it.
Do you see him as the sort of the man to beat in TNA at the moment? I mean, is he the next rising star?
Quite possibly. Yep.
Thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
Your next question comes from Chris Renfrew with Big Wrestle Shark.
Hi again, Jeff. Now, you have a lot of interest out with wrestling, one being your band, Paroxygen, with Shannon Moore and J.R. Merrill. And, of course, you're quite good friends with Billy Corgan, who gave you a lot of advice on music. Now, he's recently getting involved in the wrestling game and wants to do a reality-type show. Has he maybe spoke to you about any of this, or would you perhaps be interested in working with Billy on such a project?
I love Billy Corgan. I forget, it was somewhere close to Chicago. He came to one of our live events. It was probably almost a year ago or something. But we talked about, you know, his the deal he's doing now. I forget the name of it, but the promotion he's doing. And Resistance, is it something like that?
Yeah, I think it's something like that, yeah.
Anyway, we talked about that a little bit. I've never really, I mean, music now, I'm crazy excited about that because not many people know this, but my bands, we have 4 produced songs right now, and, oh, God, 2 of those songs are really recent and pretty much journal entries of mine and self-expression, you know, things that I can never really say out there cutting a generic wrestling promo. It's just, I'm so excited about hearing these produced versions, and but definitely, yeah, to be involved with Billy Corgan, because we do share the love of music and wrestling and just combining that. I mean, there's no telling what could happen. But, yeah, I'm crazy excited right now for people to hear the Paroxygen songs.
And could you give us a wee sneak sort of preview of when we could possibly be hearing those songs?
Hopefully, yeah. I know myself and Dale Oliver, there's a CD that's pretty much ready to be put out as far as we get everything in line. But hopefully, shortly after Bound for Glory, I mean, and before Christmas, the first, I call it the Sea Enigma Project. It's just basically me and our TNA music guy, Dale Oliver, which is brilliant. He's a brilliant guy. But the Paroxygen stuff will probably be early 2013.
Cool, thank you.
Yep.
Your next question comes from David Dunn.
Hello there, Jeff.
Hello.
Whether it be Modest or Another Me or Resurrected, it seems you've always performed your own theme music in TNA. How important is theme music in pro wrestling, and what does it mean to you to be able to write and perform your own?
I'm glad you asked that, man, because to me it's so important. And actually what I wanted to debut, it was kind of last minute, but it'll be debuted soon, if not Sunday on Impact. But there's a song that I wrote. It was actually Matt, when Matt was with TNA, and I wrote lyrics to it a long time ago when Matt had first started with TNA. But it turned into a song called Reptilian. I went along and went with the whole cold-blooded vibe, but just a really cool song. And for what I'm doing now with my face and my entrance, a little more slow and a little more methodical at first, it's perfect. And I'm so looking forward to the first time that's played because, you know, we started with, you know, it was Another Me, and then it was Resurrected, and this will be the third year in a row that you know, I debut a new entrance theme, and I think it'll be great to keep that going for the next 3 years, you know. That's something that no wrestler has ever done, and I would like to be the first to do it.
Thank you very much for your time, sir.
Your next question comes from Dan Barnsdall with The Total Wrestling.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing? One question our fans wanted to ask you. With regards to the fact you're main eventing Bound for Glory this year, and, you know, you're very clearly very passionate about your outside projects, have you got like a time scale in your own mind when you're going to leave wrestling and go on to other things or retire?
No, I don't. My third DVD is about to come out, and they asked that question. I really don't have a plan. I think being a father now has a lot to do with it. My nerves that are in me before each and every match. I think I'm afraid now more than ever of seriously getting hurt, because it's so cool to be a dad and so cool to be growing up and reuniting with youth. I mean, through my daughter, it's just, it's creepy. But seeing her watch my match back and going, Hardy, 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 it kind of almost makes me, I mean, want to do it for as long as I can, because I see her seeing me and enjoying it. But I really don't have a plan. How good the music does, and my comfort in stage performance outside the ring as far as singing songs, that's going to have a lot to do with how long I continue to do Whispers in the Wind and Swanton Bombs.
Well, that's also a good point. Your body's obviously, you're 35 now, your body's taking a fair bit of battering. There comes a point where you've got to say enough's enough. And does people like Chris Jericho inspire you to find a career outside the business?
Yeah, Chris is a huge inspiration, because I love that he's, you know, had good runs, and he disappears for a while and does the Fozzie tours. And, I mean, that inspires me to kind of follow that path in some way. But, yeah, that's a huge inspiration.
Thank you, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star and the number 1. Your next question comes from Scott Fishman with Miami Herald.
Hey, Jeff. Bound for Glory is always the big event of the year, where, you know, it's kind of like an end-of-the-year type thing, culmination. I'm just curious on what you think, you know, next couple of years with TNA, what are some goals you mentioned you set for yourself, but also what goals you see for the company that should set for themselves, you know, to continue to progress and grow and evolve?
Personal goals, my main goal is to become world champion one more time, and company goals, I mean, just continue to get as big and you know, as we possibly can, and to just get better overall as far as from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock or whatever the hours are. I think another goal for myself is to somehow through TNA while I'm wrestling is to perform like these songs once they get out, is to get comfortable and almost maybe wrestle or bring my guitar player and have acoustic sets at the live events or something I feel is necessary for me to, you know, to stay passionate and still wrestle and something that I may be able to pull off in the future. But basically, I mean, just get better because, you know, we got a lot of room to grow, and I think we're evolving perfectly, and it's just getting better. You know, things are just happening, and that's the biggest thing is just to get better.
And how has the live aspect impacted, you know, the locker room from a locker room standpoint and yourself and being out there and perform and feeling that energy and feeling that, you know, there's no net, you know, everything is out there for everyone to see?
It's just a huge step and such a good step. I mean, you know, if we can stay live all the time, it's going to be great for us, you know. And basically a year, whether it's a year or two from now, once we can take Impact live on the road, I mean, that's going to be the moment, you know. Things are going to change then. It's just going to continue to get better. And that's a big step. I think that's the next big step for us is to take Impact on the road live every week, and we'll be rocking then.
All right. And you've been through so much, you know, in your career, so much so quickly over the past couple of years, how many people you started so young. Do you ever give thought of, you know, putting pen to paper and, you know, following in the footsteps of so many, even Chris Jericho, and writing a book about your life?
Yeah, I'm actually reading Andrew Wright worked with us on the Hardy Show for years, and he actually he wrote Animal's book, and I'm reading Booker T's book right now, and Andrew wrote it, and I'm like halfway through or something. But yeah, definitely we've talked about that in the recent past, and I don't know when, but yeah, definitely for sure. I might do it in three stages or something, but it'll be great once we decide to do it.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
In order to ask a question, press star 1. Your next question comes from Chris Renfrew with Big Wrestle Shark.
You broke into wrestling with your brother and the tag team, the Hardy Boys, and you were part of what was known as a golden era of tag wrestling, your stuff with Edge and Christian and the Dudley Boys. What is your take on tag wrestling today, and how important do you think tag wrestling is to wrestling as an overall product?
It's crazy important to me because it's just fun. I mean, it's and going back to the days of all the classic TLC matches and Edge and Christian, you know, the Dudley Boys, the Hardy Boys, like those matches are so special to me. I mean, they'll last, it could be the year 2060, and I think those matches will still be cool. But, yeah, I'm kind of waiting for that to spark again, you know, something to come along. And I kind of sensed it back when I think it was Beer Money and the Machine Guns when they were having a crazy feud. I was like, oh, my God, this is phenomenal. This is awesome. But, yeah, I'm just waiting for it to spark again and, I mean, and to become as special as it was then. I mean, maybe it'll happen. But, yeah, I think tag team wrestling is always going to be fun, especially for the kids, because remembering what it was like for me and Matt and I to be growing up and wanting to be like the Rock and Roll Express or the Rockers, I mean, that's just that's that fuel that drives you, man, to be so successful in it. And I'm sure there's a lot of kids out there right now that are watching old Hardy Boy tapes, and they want to, you know, be like us. So hopefully someday soon it'll spark again.
And do you think there's any team, or sort of the team to watch right now, that would be the team to spark tag wrestling again?
I haven't watched much WWE, but as far as TNA goes, I mean, I really love watching Daniels and Kazarian. I think they're great. I mean, what they're doing. So yeah, I would say overall right now, as far as I know, the best tag team out there is Kazarian and Chris Daniels.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Your next question comes from Neil Docking with Power Slam magazine.
Hi, Jeff. I just wanted to look back for a minute, if it's okay, on your first two TNA title reigns. When you won the belt at Bound for Glory in 2010, you embraced a new, darker character that was obviously at odds with the sort of status of a fan favourite you'd had for a lot of your career. What was it like, and how difficult was it turning, you know, fans' cheers to jeers?
For me, it was a cool experiment, but it was almost, I think, impossible to pull off because. But overall, like the fans, you know, I think they liked me either way. But yeah, it was fun for me as far as expression, and I kind of needed that at that time in my life just to, you know, let out some steam or just to be different because I'm all about being different. And there's always room for change, whether it's good or bad. And that was just a bad decision and a bad change for that moment in time. But I don't regret anything.
Yeah, I remember when Stone Cold was obviously a massive fan favorite in WWE, and he went that way, and it didn't really pan out for him either because the fans really deep down just wanted to cheer him.
Yeah, that's the perfect comparison right there for sure.
Yeah, is it? Did you have to try and think about, you know, changing the way you worked in the ring? Did you? What sort of things did you have to work on to try and make that change?
Yeah, I mean the biggest thing to change is. You know, I've always been known for, you know, aerial moves and to be a risk taker. And that was the biggest thing because it's so natural, such a natural part of me to be a risk taker out there in that moment. And just to, you know, mellow out and calm that down was the hardest thing. But as far as, man, promos go, it's so much easier to despise the fans, you know, and be hateful. It's so much easier. It's really tough to go out there and be a crazy good guy. So, it was fun expressive-wise as far as it was a lot more fun on the mic and everything just to be dark and mean. But, overall, the biggest thing to change was my ring work, and that was obvious.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Your next question comes from Mike Lano with CBS Radio.
Hey, Jeff, out here in California, I covered you, I don't want to belabor the artistic portion, but it's very cool. I covered you performing music about 4 years ago, and I'm not sure, so I've got a couple of questions all rolled into one. How long have you been performing music as long as you and Matt have wrestled? And I know I came aboard late, you might have answered this, but in terms of the face paint, are you... What goes into the thought process in all the patterns? Are you making a statement about your opponent? I'm just kind of curious, you know, because it is like a very expressive Lady Gaga, Katy Perry type of thing. What is going on with that?
Totally. As far as the music goes, I have to blame Scott Weiland from Stone Temple Pilots. There was a song, and this was back when I first started getting into Pearl Jam, and I kind of got away from Public Enemy and rap for a little bit and really got into the creative writing process of what these guys were doing. And there was a song that he had wrote, and it just inspired me to start writing, and then I just started writing and more writing. And it was along that vibe of, you know, Pearl Jam, Stone Temple Pilots, Perfect Circle. And then a lot of my poems that just turned into songs after I first my dad's always been involved. I guess I get it from him. And then I started making beats on a keyboard and all this. You know, it was just a great way to express myself whenever I felt down or got excited and a line popped in my head or whatever. But, that's going back to probably, I think, around 2002, something like that. I met my guitar player from Cincinnati, and basically he started giving me these instrumentals, and I just fell in love with the whole process then, and I've been continuing to do the same thing ever since. But anyway, as far as the face paint goes, my new theme, which is called Reptilian, which you guys will hear soon, basically Matt was doing the cold-blooded thing back in the day, but when I see some of the designs I do on my face, and, you know, I saw a snake out here at my house the other day, and just the designs are so detailed, and some of my stuff is kind of like that, and basically it's going to fit way better with the way my entrance is now. It's more slow and methodic. But yeah, and that's going to just fit way better than Resurrected does with it now. And it's just kind of evolved to the max, I think. When I watch it back every week, I'm going, oh my God, that is so cool. I can't believe it took me so long to think about it, but luckily I thought about it.
That's the great thing about TNA. We've seen a lot more of you being able to express yourself. So last question is, and I know the Austin Aries matches are going to be incredible, who out there, say in TNA or anywhere, would you like to work with but haven't? Because you've almost worked with everybody now.
Yeah, that is true. I still Jushin Liger, he's from Japan. Jushin Thunder Liger was a huge inspiration. And still, one of these days, I would love to work him.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Yeah, man.
You have a follow-up question from the line of Dwayne Dugan with Wrestling Voice Radio.
Hi again, Jeff. You briefly a while ago talked about how, you know, it's a good that Impact's gone light week, and you mentioned that, you know, the next step would be to go on the road. How soon, you know, how often do you think Impact Wrestling needs to go on the road to, you know, probably get up there and, you know, be a proper strong or stronger than it is? I mean,
was that how often Impact needs to go on the road?
Yeah, you know, there's no time when it goes on the road, maybe 2 weeks at a time or so. Do you think it needs to be a week by week thing, you know, just consistently?
Ultimately, every week, but I mean, for starters, I mean, I think at least once a month would be a huge step.
Okay, and you spoke to just in the last question about wanting to wrestle Jushin Liger. You went as teenage champion to go over and wrestle for New Japan inside the Tokyo Dome. You know, obviously, if you're as a fan of the Japanese stars, was that a treat for you?
Yeah, it was probably the most pain I'd ever been in, though, because, oh my God, I'll never forget it. And if, for anybody who would see that match back, if they don't know the story, Matt had his Christmas party, and so stupid, but we had done this segment on the Hardy Show, and it was called Firebumps, and we had burnt the Christmas tree, and then my buddy was like, oh, let's do a firebump, and I just tried to do the simplest little back bump into the tree that was burning parallel on the ground, and I burnt my butt so bad, it was horrible, and I went to the doctor, it was like second-degree burns, but it was, for people that don't know that story, that's why I was in so much pain, it was brutal, just the flight over there and comfort just wasn't going to happen, but still, to get to wrestle in the Tokyo Dome was awesome for me.
That's a good story too. Anyway, thanks again, Jeff.
Yeah, man.
Your next question comes from the line of Carl Johnson.
Hi, Jeff. Obviously, you're known for your high risk style. You know, you've done some amazingly crazy things. Is there anything you've been, you know, across the promotions? Is there anything you've been amazingly not afraid to attempt, but you did it anyway, and looking back or even forward, is there anything you wouldn't actually do now?
There's several things that I want to do. I don't know if I'll ever. I really got to train for them, because it does involve, I mean, doing a top rope springboard again. And I don't know if that will ever happen. I think I can do it, but I just have to practice. But I used to do this move, and I've done it a few times in a cage match because I can balance myself. It's basically a reverse backward splash. I did it in the match against Kurt Angle at Lockdown off the top rope. It was called the Celestial Splash back in the day, and I would love to do that from a springboard, and I would love to do the top rope springboard whispering away to the floor someday if I ever build up the nerve. But that's about it. I mean, just if I could get comfortable doing those springboards again, I think there's a lot of new things to do, but there's one thing that I've had in my mind that I probably never do, but just it's a basic backflip, and you just miss your feet, not drop the leg drop, but actually hit a backsplash. It's kind of like a 450, but you're doing it backwards, if you can envision what I'm saying. Somebody's probably did it, but that's one thing that's in my mind. I'll probably never pull off, but I may attempt.
Do you tend to find you put your own style on moves, or you see something and sort of go, I can put my own flair on that and kind of perform it that way?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just, it's like even my paintings, or you can see a piece of my work or a painting and you know it's me. I think anytime, even if I had a mask on and just whatever my grace is, you know, flying through the air, like I think you can always tell it's my style and my and my take on things and the way I do things. It's just the way I move. I think it's always pretty obvious who it is.
That's brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Scott Fishman with Miami Herald.
Jeff, you have so many guys in the locker room that, you know, the high-risk style and probably were inspired by you over the years. So my question was, is there been anyone that you've taken under your wing and you've seen matches involving these high flyers and given them advice, or have there been instances where that has happened?
I'm not the kind of guy that, you know, I will compliment, but I'm not the kind of guy like that tells somebody what they did wrong or what they need to do, because I think there's so many different forms of psychology. And but basically, to answer your question, Austin Aries is a guy I've always I would go out there before my match and make sure to watch his match when he was the X Division champion, working guys like Zema Ion and Jesse Sorteen. And I would be like, oh my God, this guy is crazy talented, and he would do things that I had never even thought about, whether it be that the handspring into a elbow, or what, he does so many different things, and I'm like, oh my God, this guy's crazy. And now, basically, my thoughts and his thoughts are gonna, you know, meet Sunday, and there's no telling what's gonna happen. But I'd have to say that Austin is probably that guy, but I've never had to tell him anything because he's so arrogant. He don't need confidence.
And you mentioned this Sunday. Is there? Do you feel the challenge that, you know, knowing how talented he is and everything, in effort to that you feel a challenge to keep up with him and be able to up your game? You know, facing someone of the caliber of Austin Aries right now.
Sure. Yeah, it is quite intimidating. But just studying my matches as of late, and even, you know, watching back me and Austin, you know, tagging and not getting along. I mean, it's just, I think I'll hold my own. But yeah, he's a force to be reckoned with, that's for sure.
All right, thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Nate DeCourcy from Youth Limited Newspaper.
Yeah, I'm calling all the way from Australia, mate. How you going?
Oh, good, man.
I noticed you said you guys were imitating the Rock and Roll Express's kids. Are you Morton or are you Robert Gibson, you and Matt?
I'm sorry, can you ask that again?
I was saying you said you imitated the Rock and Roll Express and you guys were kids. Were you Ricky Morton or was Matt Robert Gibson?
I think I was Ricky Morton for sure. And still, there's been times I saw Ricky and I'm still kind of starstruck, man. It's crazy, but like just meeting his kids and seeing that his kids are fan of ours, it's crazy. You know, I never forget how special that was for me, wanting to be like him. And but yeah, I would say I was Ricky for sure.
Now, say one of your, you know, the TLCs get a lot of airplay in terms of matches, but one that really sticks out to me was the ladder match you had with The Undertaker in 2002. I think it's just one of the most underrated matches in WWE history in terms of you just playing like the underdog, like the helpless underdog with all the fight and the fire. And I'm just wondering, did you sort of draw on your sort of history with Ricky Morton and tapes that you'd watched over the journey to get to that sort of point?
Yeah, man, that's like, still, you watch that match back, and even me, you know, I can't help but get lost in it. There's no question of what's real. I mean, that was just real. Like, I was a young, up-and-coming guy that was almost, came so close to becoming world champion against a major superstar, and it's just crazy, the hope and just the belief that is in that match. Even for me, just from a natural, things that happen naturally in the moment, man, it's just one of those moments that you can't help but love, that's for sure. And yeah, that's still, when people ask me as far as what my favorite match is, as far as solo matches go, that's still one of my favorites.
Yeah, oh, definitely. You're a wrestler who, I mean, arguably one of the most popular wrestlers of the last kind of decade and a half, but popular with kids, popular with teenagers, popular with adults. Is that something you consciously did to sort of adapt your style as you went along, or you just found that was just the fit for the fans at the time?
I think with me, as far as being different, and even when I first started using, you know, heavy paint on my arm or on my face or whatever. I mean, there were so many times, you know, that I would go to the airport and I haven't even showered, and I was just like, you know what, this is my confidence. I can do this, and I don't care. I mean, this is who I am. And I think the reason I did those things was just that so many people are afraid, you know, to be who they truly are, whether it's low self-esteem or whatever. It's just like I think I was trying to share with my fans that, you know, it's all right to be yourself and not be afraid of it, and don't worry what, you know, people think about you. And I think overall the creatures really know and love that I've always been myself and haven't feared not being.
Awesome, man. Well, I just got to say, I mean, I watched the Taker, your match the other day. You just gave me goosebumps even to this day. I just want to thank you for it. It was incredible.
No, you're welcome. Thank you.
Cool. Cheers.
Okay, cheers.
Your next question comes from the line of Chris Renfrew with Big Russell Shark.
You've had a lot of very publicized problems with CM Punk. I just want to know, what are your thoughts on him now? Do you have any form of relationship with him at all now? And what's your take on him lashing out at a fan last night on Raw?
I'm working on some songs with this guy, and he had sent me a text. It was about an hour or so ago, and asked me if I hadn't seen it, so I don't know what happened. But CM Punk's great, man. I mean, he's just he's so talented. It's crazy. But we're on different pages as far as that goes, as far as our beliefs and, you know, our outlook on life. But yeah, I gotta check that out. I heard it was pretty. He said it was pretty violent. And said something about he might be coming to TNA. LOL. And I was like, oh my god. Well, I gotta go check that out. So. Yeah, I don't know about that, but CM Punk's crazy talented. We just don't, you know, we don't stay in touch or we don't have contact, but I have nothing bad to say about the guy. We're just different.
Cool, thank you.
Okay, this is going to be the last question.
Your next question comes from the line of Dan Barnsdall with Total Wrestling.
Jeff, with regards to Bound for Glory, you obviously this year you're in the main event. Last year, you weren't on the show, and Austin Aries was the opening card attraction. Does that put more pressure on yourselves and Austin to have that match-stealing show, or show-stealing match, sorry, this year?
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure, man, for sure, because, I mean, this does feel like the most important match of my career. Last year, you know, I basically was, I didn't have an actual match. I was just a small part of the show. Involved with Jeff Jarrett, and I'd just done my 10 days in the Slammer, and so I was pretty much beginning my new start with TNA and everything, and so I've came so far, and like it's all built up to this. You know, I came so close with Bobby Roode, but never, you know, fulfilled my dream, and then shockingly, Austin Aries became world champion at Destination X, and he has done so good, and he is so good. So, yeah, so many people believe and have faith in me, but it's not going to be easy, that's for sure. But, yeah, there's a ton of pressure, and I just hope I can keep up.
One last question. Have you decided on your color scheme for your outfit and your face paint on Sunday?
Yes, I got something. You know, I say this all the time, that my face paint has evolved to the max. Like, I don't know what I can do that would be much cooler, but there is one thing that I'm going to try to pull off underneath the eyelids. As far as I know, it's going to be black and white, straight black and white. And if it goes the way I see it, my mind it's going to be memorable.
We look forward to it, and all the best for Sunday.
Thank you.
All right, thank you all again for calling in today. Bound for Glory is live on pay-per-view this Sunday, the 14th, in various air dates around the world. Check your local listings, or for a full list of times, please contact myself, Simon Rothstein, or Rowan Herbstreet. And anyone who would like an MP3 of the call or images of Mr. Jeff Hardy, just send me an email. And thanks again, everyone.